Hey church, it's good to be with you today. Thanks for joining us as we look into God's word. We're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 29 today. Jeremiah chapter 29. We'll be looking at verses 10 through 13. We've been in a series on prayer as of late. We feel like the Lord has us in this place where he wants us to seek him. There's a lot that's happening right now in our lives, in our world, and in our community. And we really want to come before the Lord and just seek his face. And we've said that we want to do this collectively as a group. Many of you have been coming out to the prayer meeting on Wednesday night. It's been very encouraging to see you and to have you join us in prayer. We're looking forward to what God wants to do. I wanted to continue in talking about prayer today. The title of this sermon is When We Pray. When we pray, I want us to look at what's actually happening when we pray. What are the benefits of prayer? What is God doing when we pray? Because again, I think it's easy for us to lose heart, and we've talked about this in past weeks, but we saw last week that it's easy for us to lose heart and how Jesus encourages us to keep praying, to keep asking and to keep seeking and knocking, even when it seems like nothing's happening. Because the truth of the matter is that prayer is difficult, right? There are some times where you can't help but pray. Maybe your heart is so overwhelmed, you're just going through something that your natural response is to pray. But usually, I think for many of us, we struggle with prayer because we oftentimes feel like it's a chore. And I think honestly, with a Christian life, sometimes it could feel like our faith is merely a checklist of do's and don'ts. These are the things that we do as Christians. We read the Bible, we pray, we serve, all these different things. Then there's a list of things that we don't do. We don't want to do these blatant sins. We don't want to be angry, lustful. There could be a wide range of things that we would put into that category. And that's my fear as we go on in our Christianity with the Lord, that our Christianity kind of boils down sometimes to the do's and the don'ts. And if we're not careful, we can miss what it is that our faith is really all about. Because the Bible is clear that our faith is meant to be more than a checklist of do's and don'ts. We're actually meant to engage with God. And I want us to see prayer not merely as something that we should do, a duty or an obligation, but it's actually a privilege that we've been given by God. But there's actually something that God is doing when we pray, and I want to look at some of those things in our time together. What actually happens when we pray? The first thing I want to see in this passage in Jeremiah is that we get to experience more of God. Prayer is a means by which we experience more of God. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 through 13. This is Jeremiah sending a letter to the exiles, these people of Israel who've been taken captive by the Babylonians. And he's writing to them saying, hey, there's going to be the 70-year period where you're going to be in captivity, but God's going to bring you back. Let's read verses 10 through 13. It says, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek with me, when you seek me with all your heart." This is one of the most popular verses in all of Scripture, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Before we dig into it, let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would enlighten us, God, to see things from your word, God, that we haven't previously seen. We ask that you would remind us of truths that we have seen, God, but have been lost on us. We pray that you would warm our heart with your truth, that you would stir us up, God, to pray, to seek your face, to realize the privilege that we've been given, to realize the blessings, Lord, that you give us when we pray. We just ask that you would have your way in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said before, this is one of the most popular passages in all of Scripture, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. People oftentimes take this verse and directly apply it to their lives, which, man, I love this verse. God has spoken to me through this verse, but we can't afford to remove it from its original context, right? This is a verse, and this passage specifically is something that God was sending to his people who were in a place of captivity. And they would be in that place of captivity for 70 years. And God is promising here in verse 10, says, hey, I'm going to visit you, and I'm going to fulfill my promise and bring you back to this place. You will not be exiles forever. And then in verse 11, he says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And we oftentimes take this verse and we say, okay, God has plans for you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. God wants to do great things in your life. And while that may be true, we've got to understand what those plans entail, what God's purposes entail. And what we see from the following verses is that the plans and the purposes of God for our lives are intertwined with this call to pray. That prayer is interwoven into the very purposes of God for our life. Notice what follows after verse 11. God says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This is an amazing truth that follows one of the most popular verses in all of Scripture. We oftentimes want to walk in the plans and purposes of God, but we don't understand that this inherently involved in this, there's a call to pray. God says, no, you're going to call upon me, and you're going to come and pray to me, and I'll hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Notice how relational God is. As we talk about God's plan for our life, we cannot divorce this plan from this call to seek after God. And what I want to kind of focus in on today is that prayer isn't just something that is us bringing our checklist to God, of us merely just saying, okay, God, just here's my list of things I want you to do. Would you please do it? Or prayer is not just something that we go to when we're in trouble, but prayer is a part of God's very purpose and plan for us as his people. It's something that he wants us to tap into as the people of God. It's actually a means to experience more of God. This is very important for us to grab hold of. Prayer is a spiritual discipline, just like reading the Bible or serving the Lord or being in community. These are spiritual disciplines, but we must not miss that these things are meant to lead us into a deeper experience of God. And that's what the Lord is trying to get across here. He's basically saying, I know the plans I have for you because I am the plan. You're going to find your purpose and the plan that I have for you when you come and you seek me and you call upon me. I'm going to hear you. And you're going to seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This is where God wants to lead us as a people, into his very heart. The call to pray is a call to experience more of God. The call to read the word is a call to experience more of God. The call to serve is a call to experience more of God. And when we merely make the spiritual disciplines the end goal, we just say, hey, you should serve, you should pray, you should read. It really robs us of getting to the root of what it is that we're to be after as Christians. In the end, the whole goal of the Christian life is to experience more of God. The psalmist echoes this when he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." He's calling and inviting us to say, "Hey, experience that the Lord is good." 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says this. It says, "Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God." The end goal of prayer is not merely to get something from God, but it's to get more of God himself. Even when we think about Christianity, it's easy for us to think about the benefits of the cross without going right for the heart. What's the heart of the gospel? And I love what John Piper says in his book, even just his title, "God is the Gospel." I love that title for a book. That's in essence what Peter's saying and what the whole scripture is saying, that the whole point of Christianity is that you get more of God, not just merely more of God's things. Yes, we would say the gospel does provide us eternal life, forgiveness of sins, heaven. But these are benefits. There's a deeper thing that we get in the gospel, and that is that we get God himself. That's why Peter says that Christ died that he might bring us to God. God is the ultimate gift in the gospel. And when we talk about prayer, it's no different. What do we get when we pray? We get to experience more of God. This is an invitation into the very life of God. It's not just a mere duty. It's a privilege. And it's something as God's people, we should be chomping at the bit to pray. We should be chomping at the bit to enter into prayer. What happens when we pray? 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 through 18 says that we find ourselves walking in the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18 say this: "Pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." When we pray, we find ourselves walking in the very will of God for our lives. We get clarity. We also get direction from God. In Acts chapter 13, the church in Antioch was gathered together, and they were gathering to seek the Lord. Listen to what it says in Acts 13, verses 2 and 3. It says, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and sent them off." When we pray, we receive direction from God. Notice that these people are praying together in the church. And as they're worshiping and as they're fasting, the Holy Spirit says, "Set apart for me these guys. There's a work for them that I want them to do." Now, we don't always know how God gives us direction, right? When it says the Holy Spirit spoke, what does that actually look like? It could look like God gave an impression to someone who was in that meeting, and they spoke and said, "I think the Lord is saying this," or "the Lord is putting this on my heart." Maybe someone read a verse. Maybe they collectively had some insight from the Lord. We're not exactly sure how that happens, but we are sure that when God's people pray, God gives direction. That might be through a brother or sister in the church. That might be God impressing something on our heart as a congregation. But this is something that we can be sure of, that as we seek the Lord, as it said in Jeremiah chapter 29, that when we seek him with all of our hearts, we're going to find him. When we seek the Lord, when we worship him, when we pray, when we press in, we're getting direction from him. And I think this is going to be very important in these next few months, you guys, as there's a lot of uncertainty with what's going to happen with finding a vaccine for the coronavirus and the different things that will be facing as a church, Should we gather in person? If we do, how's that going to look like? It's very important that we seek God for direction, because we don't want to just be doing what, if we have our own opinions, we don't just want to be doing what we feel like is the best thing to do. We really want to seek God's will in the situation. And so I think that's my encouragement for us, is that as we're doing that, God is going to make it clear what he has for us as a church. Thank you to all of you who have been coming to the prayer meeting. Man, it's been so encouraging for us to gather. This is a meeting that we've been praying that God would grow. And this would be the most important meeting of the church, because I really believe as we seek God, as we say, God, please lead us and guide us, God is going to give us direction. He's going to give us assurance. He's going to unite us. And we're going to find ourselves walking in what he has for us as a church. Another thing we get when we pray is we get insight into the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." When we open up the Bible, we don't merely want to just try to, you know, take what it's saying and, okay, I want to just apply this or pull the meaning out of it. We really want to ask God for light, that he would give us the eyes to see the truths that are in his word, that we would see it accurately, that he would speak to us personally. Because the Bible is not just a textbook, it's a living book. And God wants to give us light and open up our vision to see wonderful things in his word. And this is something that we can pray for. And it says, as we pray for this, God will give us light. If your times of reading the Bible have been kind of boring, or it just feels like, you know, you're just pushing through it, grinding through it, I would encourage you to really ask the Lord and say, Lord, please open my eyes that I could see more than just that's on the page, that you would show me your heart, that you would speak to me personally where I'm at. You'd allow me to rightly divide your word. This is something that we get when we pray for insight. Another thing we get from prayer is that we get wisdom from God. James 1, verse 5 and 6 says this, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." James says, what do we get from prayer? What do we get from asking God for wisdom? If you're lacking wisdom, it says God will give you wisdom. All you have to do is ask. Ask in faith. What happens when we pray? We get to leave our burdens with God. We get to leave our burdens with God. You guys, when we come to the prayer meeting, and some of you guys are coming heavy-hearted, there'll be different weeks for each of us where our hearts are heavier than usual. But what we're doing as we come and we pray is we're leaving our burdens in the hands of God. And it's something that we're doing together, right? So as you're heavy-hearted, as we're hearing what it is that's on your heart, what it is that's weighing you down, we're able to, as a community, come alongside you and say, hey, we're going to pray for you as well. Yeah, you're going to put your burden and leave it with the Lord, but we're going to pray and we're going to bear each other's burdens, and we're all going to bring these things to the Lord in prayer. Psalm 55, 22 says this, "Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." So there's this clear call for us that as we enter into prayer, what is it that we're doing? We're casting our burdens on the Lord. We're entering that meeting with heavy hearts, and we're bringing our burdens and we're laying them at the feet of Jesus. And he's promising here in Psalm 55 that he'll sustain us. He'll never permit the righteous to be moved. What happens when we pray? We experience the peace of God. Paul says in Philippians 4, 7, that as we pray, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is something that we get to experience collectively. In uncertain times, when our hearts are restless, Are we going to take advantage of the opportunity that we've been given by God? This opportunity and this invitation to experience the peace of God that even goes beyond understanding. This is a peace that doesn't come from merely the world, right? Jesus said that his peace is different than the peace that the world gives. His peace is deep, it's lasting, it goes beyond understanding, and it will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So that when we're being tempted to freak out, to say, man, what's going to happen in a month, in 2 months, 3 months, a year from now? What's going to happen with my kids who are growing up in this crazy world? What's going to happen with our church? We're able to say, you know what? Because we're in a place of prayer, we're experiencing the continual peace of God in our lives. James chapter 5 says that when we pray, that we have this opportunity to receive healing in prayer, right? We know that God doesn't always heal in the way that we want him to. But the Bible's clear that God is able and God does heal people physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 call us to do this. If anyone's sick, they're to pray. The elders of the church come around them, anoint them with oil, and pray in the name of the Lord for healing. This is an opportunity that we've been given as God's people. Prayer is also an opportunity to grow in unity as a community. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity." I can't think of anything more unifying than praying together as God's people. Right? What could possibly be more unifying than that? As we're praying together, and this is part of Jesus' prayer for us in John 17, but he prayed that we would be one as him and the Father are one. He prayed twice in John 17 that we would be one. And as we come together in prayer as a community, we're uniting around Christ. And we're saying it's not about our agenda. God, it's all about your will and what you want. And we're collectively coming together and we're saying, God, have your way in us. Have your way in our church, in our families, in these situations where we want to see you move. And so we get to see God do more than we can ask or think. This is my encouragement for us. I can't possibly get us excited about prayer enough. I know for me, there's many things that I bring to the table with this. I know it's work sometimes. It's not always fun, but prayer and is not always meant to be fun, to be honest. It's meant to be formative. It's meant to shape us and change us and help us. It's almost like what breathing is for humans, prayer is to the Christian, right? You say, is breathing fun? Not really. I don't know if people really classify it as fun, but it's necessary. It's essential to life. And I think as God's people, we need to come to this place, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would bring us to this place where we would say, you know what? We need to pray. We need to press in. We need to seek the Lord. The Lord, we have been holding our breath, so to speak, when we gather. We haven't been pressing in to pray. And this is the time where I really want to encourage us to go forward in the Lord and to say, Lord, we are not going to give into complacency or apathy. We are not just going to sit on the sidelines and just wait for other people to press in. We ourselves want to gather together and say, you know what? We want to play the role that God's calling us to play. We want to press in for our families, for our community, for our church. And say, Lord, give us guidance. Give us your peace. Give us direction. Have your way in our lives. I pray that God would get us excited, that the Holy Spirit would give us a passion and just this fervency to really enter into this. Let's pray. Father, we need you. We confess, Lord, that when we think about prayer, oftentimes there's work that's involved, there's effort. It sounds tiring. We're not good at it. We don't know all the right things to say. We struggle with focus. There's only a certain amount that we can pray. Our capacity is limited. There's so many reasons that keep us from praying, really. And I just pray, Father, I don't want to lay guilt trips on people. I really want us to experience the blessing of prayer, the blessing of pressing into your presence, the joy of experiencing more of you together. God, that you would begin to burden our hearts to really seek you, to really, with all of our hearts, Lord, that we would say, you know what? It's time for us to press in. It's not time to let off of the gas. It's time to really press into the Lord, to come into the throne room, to enjoy you, to beseech you, to call out to you, Lord. And so I just pray for us as a church that you would lay this heavy on our hearts, that in our individual lives, God, that it would be like breathing. It would be like, man, no matter what I'm doing, I'm going to the grocery store, I'm going to work, I'm having these moments throughout the day where I'm saying, God's with me. And I get to talk with you. And we get to enjoy you. We get to grow in our prayer lives together. So, God, just unite our hearts as one. I pray that you go before us in this season, that you would lead us and that you would guide us, and you would shape our church in the way that you want it to look. Have your way, God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.